Amen. You can have a seat. Last week, I introduced a word that we're going to come back to multiple times this year, and it's the word thrive. And it's because we want to thrive. We want to thrive in this life. I want that for you. I want that for our church. And we're going to think about how we can thrive. We discussed that, you know, maybe out in the culture, people might look at thriving in a very different way than the Bible talks about thriving. It might just be sort of success and good health and those kinds of things. But last week, we looked at some passages that taught us that we thrive when we value what's most important. Now, the next question then is, what's important, right? Who gets to decide that? And again, we looked at some passages that point us to God want us to be participating in what he's doing in the world, in the kingdom of God. So it's not just sort of at the end, but that God is at work now in the world, in the church, in our families, and in our lives. And we thrive when we're participating in that. And so we're going to take that as our foundation, and we're going to build on that for the rest of the year. That's really what we're going to begin with, and we're going to look at relationships later and work. But in this series, at the first part of the year, we're thinking how we thrive personally in our relationship with God. And so we're sort of building a building, if you will. We're creating the right environments to grow, if you want to think about it in terms of a plant. We need the right conditions. So that's what we're doing here at the beginning of the year. So what's the next step? If understanding what thriving is the first step, the foundation, what's next? Well, you know, one of the things that's amazing in our culture is our incredible access to information, right? I mean, in unprecedented ways, we have access to all kinds of information. When lots of us were kids, if we wanted to know about something, we had to go to the library, see if they had a book on that topic. Does anyone remember the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature? You loved it, right? Well, you know, you had to look up in this Reader's Guide, you know, subjects and things, and then hope that the library would have the magazine that you found the article in, and hope that they would have that issue in the right order so you could actually find it, right? Now, we just Google it, and all this information comes right to us. In the past few years, now it's AI sort of synthesizes all that information, and we've got it right in front of us. And in some ways, that's awesome. We know in some ways it can be destructive, too. We're aware of that. But the point is, we've got all this information. If we want to know how to do something, we go to the University of YouTube and look it up, and then we know how to fix the sink or learn how to crochet or whatever it is we're trying to figure out how to do. And that's awesome. But in our spiritual life, as we think about thriving, one of the things that we need is knowledge. We need information. We need to know some stuff if we're really going to thrive, if that's going to be our building block for everything else. And this morning, I want us to think about where do we go if we want to know things about God? What do we do with that? And how do we gain that kind of knowledge? And I want us to look at three passages, all of them short, and we'll just spend a few minutes on each one. But we're going to start today in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, sort of right in the middle of your Bible, right after Psalms. You can find that pretty easy, Psalms, Proverbs. And Proverbs is just filled with knowledge of, okay, this is how the world basically works. And you can pay attention to that and thrive. It's sort of a manual for thriving. Or you can ignore it and you're going to have all kinds of problems, okay? So the first six verses of the whole book, Proverbs 1 through 6, says, okay, read this book, listen to it, because it's going to make a difference. And then verse 7, this is what we read in verse 7. The fear of the Lord, and this is the proper name for God, this is Yahweh, okay? The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, maybe you hear that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and you go, that's a little bit of an odd place for you to go this morning, James. I mean, we just spent a year talking about the story of God's love. And I made the point over and over that God doesn't want us to be cowering before him. He's coming to us with open arms, inviting us into a relationship because he loves us so much. In fact, this morning, what have we been singing about? The goodness of God. He is so good. So why am I supposed to be afraid of him, and how is that the beginning of knowledge? Well, this word, this Hebrew word that we translate over as fear in English, has sort of shades of meaning. And one of those shades is like I'm afraid of something, like dread, okay? Sort of the way we usually use the word fear, but it's really more than that. It also means being in awe of someone or something. You know, I remember when we visited Yosemite, and maybe some of you have been there, and we were leaving and we looked back at this incredible valley, and the scope is just, it's bigger than anything I had ever seen, and I was in awe of that. And we have the same kind of even greater awe as we think about the power, the might of this God who created all things. The universe is bigger than we can really comprehend, and the things that are very small are more intricate than we can understand. And God did all that. So we are in awe of him. That's part of what we're talking about. To revere something, to recognize its holiness and its goodness. So when we talk about the fear of God, it's not just about being afraid of God. It's really recognizing who God is and that he deserves our worship and our praise and our glory because we are so in awe of him. And because we recognize his righteousness and his power, we have this healthy respect, maybe better than just the word fear. So how is that the beginning of knowledge? I think what the writer of Proverbs is telling us is we can't really understand life. We can't really understand ourselves until we begin to seek out the God who has made us, who has given us this life, who created the universe. I don't know who I am without my understanding of my relationship with God. And I don't know how to relate to you until I understand just how much God has loved me, and that dictates how I should treat you. And I don't know how to spend my money, and I don't really know how to do my work until I begin to understand the power, the greatness of this God, the very deep goodness of this God. And when we understand, well, we spend a life doing that, we're never done. But when we begin to understand this God, then we begin to understand so much more about who we are and what this life should be like. So in that way, the fear of God, being in awe of God, revering this God is the beginning of all knowledge. So that's the starting point. Now let's take that one step further and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to this man who's younger than him, a man he's training in ministry, teaching him to do the things that he, Paul, had done. And so he's writing about Scripture. And when someone in the New Testament writes about Scripture, they're talking about the Old Testament, right? Because the New Testament is still being written. It's not in final form. So Paul's talking about the Hebrew Bible, Genesis through Malachi. But I think we can apply that for us to the whole Bible. This is what Paul says to Timothy about the Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed. If you have your Bible open, it might say inspired. That's just a different way of saying the same thing. God has gifted it to us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired. Now, how do we think about that? You know, if we look at some other religions, they have holy books, and some of them will say, well, this book we read, that we use, it fell out of heaven in final form. We just got it. Or they will say it is dictated to someone. Both the New and the Old Testaments, we think about it in a slightly different way. That God takes a human being, and with their experiences and their study, their investigation, and their listening to God and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in them, we've got this collection, really a library of 66 books from many different authors over hundreds of years that give us just what God wanted us to have. And so in that way, it is infused with the Spirit of God, so that we've got the words that he wants us to have. And Paul says, because it is inspired, God-breathed, it's good for all kinds of things. Teaching, okay, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. We take that, and then this word that God has given us, we teach from. And sometimes it's challenging because it rebukes us, it corrects us, it tells us where we're wrong. Now, that's not fun. I mean, none of us really like being told that we've done something wrong. But sometimes we read the Bible, and that's exactly what it does. It reminds us that we've messed up, and we need to change something in our lives. But all that is there. All this teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness is there for a reason. Verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this teaching is not just about you'll have this incredible storehouse of knowledge. You'll be able to answer all kind of Bible trivia questions. It'll be great. No, it's more than that. It's so that we become the people that God wants us to be. It should be translated into action, into the way we actually live life. We're taught, corrected, rebuked, trained, so that we become someone that can be used by God. If thriving is participating in the kingdom of God, then this is how we participate. We learn from His Word what He wants us to do. And let's think about that. We turn over to Romans chapter 12, one more verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I love. Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, we've talked a little bit about that. The world says thriving looks like this. Paul says, hey, listen, don't just assume that the culture tells you something. It must be true. That's the way it works. In fact, you need to think about all those things. So don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. God has shown us who He is through His inspired, God-breathed Word, which teaches us, corrects us, rebukes us, trains us, so that we'll know His will and we can act on it. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's one of the questions that people come to me with a lot. How can I know what God's will is? Well, it's not simplistic, because sometimes we really are faced with maybe two options we got to choose from, maybe multiple options, and we really want to do what God wants us to do. We come to those situations and we go, hey, I know that I don't know what's really the best thing, and I want to do what God has called me to do. How can I know? What does Paul say? It says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? We'll go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. God's inspired, God-breathed Word that teaches, corrects, rebukes, and trains us. It is God's Word, this collection of books by multiple authors that teaches us what God's will is, so that we can live it out. So what's the lesson for us? I would say it's a lesson that's not just about our church life or being a Christian. It's a lesson that really applies all through life, and maybe even whether you're a Christian or not. And it's this. Knowledge leads to transformation. Knowledge leads to transformation. And whether we're talking about good or bad, knowledge leads to transformation. What we put into our minds, what we learn, transforms our lives, good or bad. Now, years ago, I was a ministry intern right after college. We were at a big church in Florida, a church that was a big church and also had a really big school, sort of like, same as us, we're just a little smaller. So had this big school and church, and I worked for the woman who was the director of Christian education, which meant that she oversaw all the kids' ministry in the church and the school. That was a big, big job, okay? And she had one mantra. She said it all the time. Three words. Think, feel, do. What we learn, what we think about, what goes into our minds affects our emotions, which then affects our actions. Think, feel, do. And I think when we put these passages together, the ones we've read this morning, they lead us in that same direction. They're telling us whatever you put in your mind is going to affect how you feel about life and feel about other people, and that's going to affect what you do. So then the next question is, what are you putting in your mind? And there's all kinds of things. I mean, again, we live in a world that's very different from even just a couple decades ago. We have access to incredible amounts of information, news at our fingertips. We are bombarded by images and video all day long. I mean, what happens? We get a little bored for a few minutes. What do? We pull out our phones. We start scrolling, whether it's the news or social media. Have you ever pulled out your phone and just scrolling through social media, and you're having a perfectly good day, and you just scroll through for 5 minutes, and you get so mad at somebody that you know because of something that they posted, right? So what are we putting in our minds? And how is it affecting our feelings and then our actions? I mean, some of the stuff that we bring into our minds can create such anxiety and fear and anger and maybe temptation. And all that, it leads to transformation. It just doesn't lead to the right transformation. So my goal today is not to get you to turn your phone off for 12 hours a day, because it's not real. So we're going to be bombarded with those images, but we do need to monitor that. And we do need to think about, okay, how are all these words and these images and this video, how is it impacting me? What is going into my mind, and how does that translate into my feelings? And maybe how does it prompt me to act? Because knowledge leads to transformation. And we need to be intentional about what goes into our minds. And it's not just about eliminating the negative things. I mean, that's a big piece of it, but it's also, what are we putting into our minds that will lead to our minds being renewed, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12? Well, part of it is this library, this collection of books that God has given us that is inspired, God-breathed. And maybe January 1st, you had this resolution that I'm going to read the Bible every day in 2026. And you've already missed a few days, right? So might as well just give up. Well, let me encourage you. Don't. It's okay. If you've got a reading plan that's going to get you through the Bible in a year or 2 years, in the New Testament in a year, whatever plan you've got there, and you're thinking, man, I'm already behind, there's no way I'll finish by the end of the year, don't worry about it. Just keep reading. And maybe it takes you through January or February of 2027 to get done. Don't worry about it. Don't give up. Just keep reading. There are hundreds of plans out there. If you're not reading God's Word, choose one. Just choose one. Go to the Bible app. You can check it off every day you've done it. Make you feel about like $1 million because you got to put that little green, check mark beside it. But keep reading and allow this collection of God-breathed books to transform you, to give you knowledge that will change you. But there's all kinds of other resources out there. I mean, there are really great authors that are at work today challenging us and teaching us from God's Word. And I want to encourage you to find books and blogs and articles that will do just that. And maybe some biblical studies that will help you understand God's Word even better. But, reading's not magical. Some people will say, I just don't enjoy reading that much. Okay, that's cool, all right? Not everybody's the same. God didn't make us all the same. For some people, listening is way better. Well, again, we're blessed with tremendous resources where we can listen to books and we can listen to podcasts, and they can challenge us in the same way that reading. So if that's your thing, listen. We have podcasts here at church, Sunday Unpacked, and later on this week, we'll talk about what we discussed today and take it a little bit further and a little bit deeper. That's one, but there's dozens, hundreds. And there's good preachers out there there's better preachers than me, believe it or not, that you could listen to and watch, and they will challenge you in ways that I won't because of their experience and study. And look for that stuff. Look for that stuff. Listen as you drive or whatever it may be for you. And one more thing. Our church purchases a subscription to Right Now Media. The information's in the bulletin today. It is, because the church does this, it is completely free to you. All right, so hundreds of videos, biblical teaching, dramas, kids stuff. Take advantage of it. It's clear how to sign up. Again, no cost to you. But it's one more way to put things in your mind that will transform you into the person that God wants you to be. We want to thrive. We want to participate in what God is doing. So let God transform you by what goes into your mind. Let's pray together. God, we want to thrive. And we want to do that in a way that pleases you. We want to thrive by participating in what you're doing in the world. And so, God, fill our minds and help us to be intentional about this with just what you want. So, God, guide us in that so that we will be transformed into the people you want us to be. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.